microphone, Doc.
And this mess stinking.
When we ain't chilling up in the bricks in the chalet, we chilling out here in Montreal.
On CKUT.
Nobody do it better, dog.
90.3 FM.
Hey,
gone.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
It's dark in here.
I can't see anything.
Is there anybody out there who wants to talk to me?
Wait, I think I see the moon.
3, 2, 1.
This is Radio Moon.
It's showtime.
Welcome to Radio Moon, radio that is good for your mental health. Every third Thursday of the month, the Radio Moon Collective brings you an hour of radio from 2 to 3 p.m., created by people living a full life with mental health issues. And as the Canadian Mental Health Association informs us, mental illness affects people of all ages, educational and income levels, and cultures. Check out their website for more information about mental health in Canada at www.cmha.ca. Today is Thursday, September 15th, 2022. Radio Moon informs people about mental health issues, providing a voice to be heard by all listeners. We use art, comedy, poetry, interviews, discussions, stories, news, music, and radio dramas to present the many faces and realities of mental health. Most importantly, we have fun and learn the art and science of radio. Radio Moon is a program that comes out of Forward House, a community-based mental health organization. We would love to hear your voice, too. Feel free to send us an email to forwardhouse.education@gmail.com. We would love to hear your feedback, perspectives, and thoughts.
Today on Radio Moon, we will focus on the theme of environment. Are you passionate about our beautiful planet Earth? Does the thought of people not recycling, creating pollution and melting ice caps make you feel a little green? Stay tuned to find out what our Forward House members have to say.
Let's kick it off with an old classic from Joni Mitchell. Inspired by waking up to looking out the window at the green mountains in the distance and a parking lot in front of them. She felt very alarmed, and so she sadly wrote this song. Here is Big Yellow Taxi by Joni Mitchell.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bah, 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 bah. Ooh, bah, 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 bah.
They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh, bah, 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 bah. Ooh, bah, 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 bah.
Hey, farmer, put away the DDT now. Give me spots on apples, or leave me the birds and the bees. Please, don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Ooh,
screen door slammed, and a big yellow taxi took away my old man. Don't it always seem to go
but you don't know what you've got till it's gone. We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. We paid paradise, put up a parking lot. We paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. First up, we're going to have a group discussion about the environment. How does it affect us? Are we doing enough to curb the speed of climate change? It's a rich topic with so many questions and answers. I'll be joined here today by Noel, Catherine, and Marissa to help me dive in. So guys, welcome back. We're back in the studio. It's our first roundtable back. To start off the session, we're going to start off with, what do you do for the environment?
Well, I'd like to introduce an angle on that.
Bring it to us.
When I go for a walk in the park, I don't pick flowers. I don't pick hurt grass. Hmm. I don't take twigs or branches or leaves off of trees. And I hug trees. And I don't step on ants, and I don't step on caterpillars or spiders. And I don't throw rocks or anything at birds or squirrels.
Okay. Catherine, is it a bit hard not to step on the ants? I'm just a bit curious.
You know what? I'm 41 years old, and I've never done step on an ant. And it's worth the effort. Sometimes you just have to put in the effort, but it's worth it.
That's an amazing little spin on it, actually. So what else do you guys do to help the environment?
Well, to help the environment, I use the recycling bin a lot. That helps put all your waste to good use.
Noel, is it sometimes hard to know what to recycle and what not to recycle?
Yeah, it's definitely, you have to think about it.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that too, because sometimes I look at the little symbol and I'm like, does this mean I can put in the recycling or not? I question myself often. Any other takes?
Well, what I do is, usually if I'm going to IGA and I want to get like 12 pack of bottled waters, and I'll have them all over my floor, I'll try to reduce that by using one bottle and keep on using that bottle for water, you know, every time, let's say I go to a gym or hot yoga class. So it saves. Hopefully I'm helping to contribute a little bit to the environment.
Marissa, I'm curious, how long does one of those water bottles last you? Because I try to do the same thing, but she gets a little crunched up by day 5. Does it last pretty long, or?
I think it's something that's always in the process of learning. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. But, yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Along the same lines, you guys all have a few... Catherine, do you have something to say?
For an important environmental cause?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say. Catherine's already ahead of the game. What environmental causes are important to you?
Well, the two particular ones is replanting forests that have burned down.
Okay.
The second one is to close pet stores. And I would throw in a third. I cannot stand going into the grocery store and seeing those lobsters.
Oh, like the ones in the tanks?
In the tanks.
Can we dig a little deeper about the pet store one?
I go into pet stores and I see animals in small cages petrified. I feel very sorry.
Is there a better alternative to pet stores if we shut them down?
Well, if you wanted a cat or a dog to bring home, you would wait till some you heard in the neighborhood someone's cat or dog had puppies or kittens.
More of a communal pet shop of your neighbors, basically.
Yeah.
Anyone else who has an environmental cause that they're passionate about?
Well, I'd like to see the emissions being more looked after and controlled.
Got to get that government on that right away.
Hi,
So, leading into that, on the aspect of nature and our environment, do you feel any empathy for natural things or our environment? Do you have a connection to it? Catherine, yeah, go for it.
It's very simple. You just have to remind yourself that even if it's not a person and it's a plant or an animal or even an insect, just remind yourself they have feelings. They have as much feelings as your own self. And if you understand it's wrong to hurt people, the next step is to understand it is just as wrong to hurt animals,
yeah,
or plants.
Do you have any advice for someone who has no empathy to the environment? Like, what can help someone feel more, if you have any?
I don't know what to say. Maybe...
it's a hard question.
Just go to the library and read about it.
Read about it. It's great.
Yeah, I have empathy for the environment. But as far as other people, I really can't say. Because they have their own way of treating different aspects of the environment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I appreciate the environment into at a certain point. I don't know much all about the environment, to tell you the truth, but I do feel like nature is like one of the things that if God or whoever created, I think that's something pretty special that you can't really explain, because when you're at one with nature, I feel like it's just a sense of peace and calmness. And you need calmness in a lot of times when there's just so much noise and chaos. You need some to be quiet for a little and be comfortable with the silence.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a nice way of thinking about it. I guess for myself, I often think about those, a lot of animals that get displaced. Like when the rainforests are torn down, where do all these animals go? It's kind of like we're destroying their natural habitat. But it's kind of our fault. Where do we place them again? They have nowhere to go. With that, how do you guys, this is a big, big question, how do you guys feel about animal cruelty? Because there's two, I guess, dimensions to it. Is animal cruelty also displacing the habitat of animals? What do you guys have to say about?
I would say two things. Number one, it's people should know it is as wrong as hurting people. It should be same laws applied. And as to hurting habitats, well, fold it there. People should know it's just as bad there also.
I agree.
I'm against animal cruelty, but I don't know how other people would feel towards their animals, mm-hmm, and how well they would want to treat them. But I guess that if they have the animal for quite a while, they'll have more respect and treat the animal with much more care.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have zero tolerance for animal cruelty, negligence. These animals literally have no voice and are literally silent, and there's no empathy or compassion. It's funny how we say, oh, we have more compassion for like habitats and the environment. So why doesn't that apply to the same thing as dogs and animals, and understanding the psyche of someone who treats animals, you know, unfairly? And I can go into, you know, horrible stories and situations, but we got to know that there's people out there who are you know, using their time to you know, get them out of this cruel area and find these people homes for adoption, because we need more you know, helpers and everybody just coming together for something specifically as animal cruelty.
Thank you for that, Marissa. So on that note, I'm going to bring up vegetarianism, because a lot of vegetarians, or whether you're a vegetarian or not, there's a link between how animals are treated and also how animals impact our environment. And often people are vegetarian because of those two reasons. How do you guys feel about being a vegetarian or just vegetarianism in general?
I think and feel about vegetarianism that it is in basic reasoning.
Are you a vegetarian, Catherine?
At this point, I'm attempting to be a vegetarian. Mm. I was on medications for many years that broke my body, and I needed meat.
Okay.
I've tried vegetarianism 5 times so far. This is my number 6.
And that's something you want to strive towards? When your body can allow you?
Yeah, I'm working on it right now.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm heading into it right now in the process.
Congrats.
I like vegetarianism, but I don't like when people get upset that they find out that I eat meat.
Oh. Mm.
I like the idea of having the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. That I appreciate.
Noelle needs a balance of both, mm. A delicious balance of both.
I know that in China, it's very common for them to eat dogs. So when I hear about that, that just makes me very, like, boiling. I don't like that at all. But I have been a vegetarian for a couple of years when I needed to, lose weight off, you know, on a, similar to Catherine on medication. And I found that actually I wasn't feeling like I wasn't getting enough nutrients and meat. So after I think like good 5 years, I went back to meat. And I do sometimes feel bad about it when I'm thinking about it. But it's something that I still do eat meat right now still.
I think it's one thing to say that if your body's not reacting well to it because of medication, the thought is there, and maybe is there ways to curb that? Maybe you're eating meat 2-3 times a week, or some people buy that free range, is it free range chicken or something like that? There's ways to help lessen the effects of animals in the world, basically, with the environment. A fun little question. What's your favorite animal? Let's wrap that up, and it'll be our last question. What's your favorite animal, guys?
My favorite animal is horses. Everything's totally different when there's horses around.
Amazing. I love that.
My favorite animal is the dog.
Yeah, I think you all know that. I'm obsessed with dogs. I'm obsessed.
That's great. Mine's the chipmunk. It's really random, but I love chipmunks. So thank you, Moonies, for that great discussion. The song we will play next is by the Bee Gees, and it's titled Too Much Heaven. Is there too much heaven? We'll see. From the song, a full $7 million went to UNICEF. It hit number one in the U.S. and would become the fourth of 6 consecutive number one hits by the Bee Gees between 1977 and 79. Let's take a listen to Too Many Hits. Here's Too Much Heaven. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Radio Moon on CKUT. Next up, we have Noel with his words of wisdom on the environment. Take it away, Noel.
Hi, my name is Noel, and today I have a poem for you. It's called Environmentalism. We have to become more aware of our environment. With this global warming, the whole environment is affected. Use the recycling bin as needed. This will help the environment. Also, there is the compost. This is another great way to help the environment. Leave your car at home and take the metro. This will help with emissions. It's very good for the environment. You could say that COVID had a great effect on us.
It's okay, Noel.
Excuse me. It made us more aware of the environment.
You heard the man. Leave your car at home and take the metro. Thank you, Noel. Our next song is called In the Year 2525 by Zagar and Evans. It was actually written in 1969, not 2525, and it predicted that the human species would drive itself to extinction from an overdependence on machines and technology. Fun times. Of a one-hit wonder from Zagar and Evans, but it was covered over 60 times in 7 different languages. Let's find out why.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may machine doing that.
Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. Next up, we have a pre-recorded piece by Peter called Sacrifice to the Car Gods. Let's fasten our seatbelts and take a listen.
Ever since the early 70s, when I was a high school student, I've been aware of how profoundly our surroundings have been shaped by internal combustion vehicles. I was living in Chattahoochee. Its land used to be as productive agriculturally as the Okanagan or Niagara regions. Cars had encouraged the development of bedroom communities there. It was a place for Montrealers to own their own home with a yard. Even then, the congestion on the Mercier Bridge was a problem. As a bumper sticker of one of our neighbors said, "Pray for me, I commute on the Mercier Bridge." My geography teacher told us that if another bridge was built, its benefit would only be temporary. The increased access would encourage more development until both bridges became congested. He said that a train line would decrease the congestion while encouraging increased development. I also learned that the big automotive companies bought tramways in many cities, including Montreal, only to shut them down to increase the demand for their cars. Big box stores rely on cars to deliver their customers to them. This caused main streets in many towns to have many empty storefronts. It had the effect of causing cars to be necessary for everyone. Yet when one compares the amount of time that cars are driven to the time that they are parked, it is only a small part of it. They require two parking spaces, one at home and one at work. Whenever one is being used, the other is wasted land. When they are being driven, they pollute the air and the water. Increased public transit would let people avoid the waste that cars cause. The car's absence would make our urban spaces more livable. More pedestrian malls could be open year-round instead of only being open in the summer months. I call the negative aspects of automotive culture our sacrifice to the car gods. I say it is high time to drive away from our deference to cars.
Thanks, Peter. Next up, we have a special news flash from our Forward House correspondent, Catherine.
And now it's time for another Radio Moon news flash. 3 days ago on Sesame Street, Snuffle Apagus's condition deteriorated significantly. Some patches of fur fell off from his snuff. This unnatural molting was triggered by the fact that he is experiencing severely irrational paranoia that his species is going extinct. Snuffy has been hallucinating that his family are the last of the woolly mammoths. He got the idea because his grandmother, mother, and little sister recently died in psychiatry. Snuffy's counselor believes that Snuffy is delusional because this proves that he is now incapable of putting his thoughts together rationally. Snuffle Upagus is also paranoid that his best friend, Big Bird, is also going extinct and feels that they will go extinct together. For Sesame Street News, this is Catherine Sanders.
Thank you.
Thanks, Catherine. Next up, let's take a listen to Buffy St. Marie's 2015 environmental anthem, Carry It On, by Buffy St. Marie. She said on her website, "Humans are vulnerable, governments come and go, and nature is sacred. So take care of your link with life and thrive." She said that we need to hang on to our link with life and apply positive action everywhere, everywhere we can. Here's the amazing Buffy St. Marie. Welcome back. You're turned in. Oh, I kind of hiccuped on that one. You're turned into. Jeez, Radio Moon. That's good for your health. Next on our show, we have a piece by Marissa about the joys and wonders of good old Salvation Army and how shopping there can both save the planet and your wallets. Take it away, Marissa.
Thank you. Salvation Army. Are you a Salvation Army lover? Here are some pros and no's if you're going to shop there. If you have a lack of time or energy to go shopping, or simply don't have the money to buy expensive new name brands, then you, my friend, are in for a treat. From clothes to shoes to home decor, this is a dream to many hearts' desires. It is a great way for people who do not sustain a regular income to be able to buy something guilt-free and that we can look and feel our best in whatever we buy. There are tons of games and board games, which I love, for my niece and nephew. They're so much more affordable than hitting those expensive department stores. We know that in the summer, they show really cute summer dresses from shorts to skirts to sandals to buy. The only topic of discussion that I will not budge for is buying underwear. A girl has her limits. I think at the end of the day, and I'm trying on clothes and getting rid of garments and don't fit anymore, I decide to donate to other people's use. When you do, the next time you go, you can get $5 off a new item, which is a nice bonus. Why am I talking about this place so much? While you are buying, you're not only saving money, but saving the planet and the environment.
Thank you, Marissa, for that great piece. Next, here's Catherine with a poem.
In nature, the sickness of hurt. Love a tree, an innocent tree gasping for air. I love and I stare. In nature, a sickness of hurt. I just have to stare. Now a black hole star. The gleam gets inverted, gets depressed. I still don't get it. In nature, the sickness of hurt spreading. Why does the star cry when I, and so many people, believe in the love of nature? I stare at that star. In nature, a sickness of hurt. Sick, sick, sick. This star cries, and so do I. And if you listen closely, that star can't sing. It shrinks with each fast spurt, because in nature, the sickness of hurt. So I'm writing a poem for us. The environment is sad. In nature, the sickness of hurt. Because the trees hurt, the stars hurt, and the truth hurts.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Radio Moon. Radio Moon, that's good for your mental health. Next on our show, we have the wonderful cover of Over the Rainbow and What a Wonderful World by Israel Kamakawioli and his ukulele. Enjoy!
What a wonderful world.
That was Over the Rainbow, What a Wonderful World by Israel Kamakawiwole. I think Marissa did a better job. Up next, we have Catherine's story of Rabbi Bar Yochai and the Loch Ness Monster. Please take it away, Catherine.
Once there was a famous and holy man. His name was Bar Yochai. He lived in the Galilee. And far away in Scotland lived a sea monster known as the Loch Ness, in Hebrew, the Leviathan. She was a huge dragon and very, very dangerous. She often ate whole boats of people. One day, a man traveled far to Israel to tell Bar Yochai that the Loch Ness was about to eat the whole earth. Bar Yochai was expected to say that he would kill the Loch Ness, but instead he said mysteriously, "I will nitzayer ha-Leviathan," which means, "I will remember the Loch Ness." Then he sailed out to Scotland. After a three-week journey, he arrived at the sea in Scotland and engaged the Loch Ness in conversation. She said that she did not feel well. She revealed that her reason for wanting to eat the whole world was just that she didn't feel well emotionally. Bar Yochai listened. Then Rabbi Bar Yochai figured out what to do. He asked the dangerous sea monster to repent for her killing ways, and she would let it pass, and then the world was spared, and she did. And that is how we can understand that the power of repentance can be amazing, because that's the way of nature.
Thank you for that story, Catherine. Now here's a gentle song by John Denver, "Sunshine on My Shoulder." He said it was about the virtues of love and also about reaching for something the whole world could embrace. Let's take a listen.
Sunshine on my shoulder makes me happy. Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so lovely. Almost always makes me high. If I had a day that I could
Welcome back. You've been listening to Radio Moon. We're nearing the end of this month's program. We'll be back October 20th from 2 to 3 p.m. for another show. For more information on Radio Moon or Forward House, please visit www.forwardhouse.org or call us at 514-488-9119. And don't forget to listen to us online at ckut.ca.
We close out today's show with Michael Jackson, his amazing work, Will You Be There? In its recording on Michael Jackson, The Experience, it spans 7 minutes and 41 seconds, the longest song in his discography. Hey. Hey, Noel. Psst, Noel. What do you call an orca with no pants?
What?
Free Willy. You may also remember the song from the 1993 orca film, Free Willy. So let's take a listen.
And fly till the end.